We said we're going to do something to your brain.
A moment ago, you were behind the wheel of a large automobile, and now you're watching this. It's Dead Air 28. Hello and welcome. I hope everybody's okay.
Large automobile? Sure, no reason. I gotcha.
Letting the days go by. All right.
Worf, take us to Mexico.
My name's not Worf. I play a character called Worf. Today we're talking about Ruby Frank from Momfluencer.
Frankie. I keep saying whatever. Frank. Looks like Frank.
Quiet on set. The Dark Side of Kids TV. The Truth versus Alex Jones. The Regime. And Mary Kay but not Ashley. And Tiny House Hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. We're, you know, I think 28 episodes in, we've got this down pat, haven't we?
It's got a real pace to it now, yeah. Sure does, yeah.
Yeah.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
honestly, my favourite podcasts are just, not like a series of podcasts, but just one or two, mm-hmm. Like episode 128 mm-hmm. of a podcast I've never heard of before, where the hosts clearly have... like, not even no chemistry, kind of like anti-chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost like they're in different dimensions.
Mm-hmm. I guess that can work. Depending. Yeah. Anyway. Should we start? Quick move update. How all that's going?
We're moving house.
We're moving. Yeah, you may recall. Sorry, I sound extra horrible today. Got a bit of a respiratory infection. About a week ago, we're moving back in with my grandma and her little apart, like a guest apartment off their garage.
Garage.
Sure.
Car hole.
Car
hole. Well, isn't it? Yeah, well, yeah.
Car
okay.
Uterus.
yeah. Auto cavity.
Anyway, we went over last week and ripped some carpet up, and my dumbass did not bring a mask or think about the fact that I'm pretty sure I'm allergic to dust. So might want to do that. So I'm a little bit bleh.
Yeah, right.
So I'm sorry for that. Got some good, head explosions on the way.
Are you allergic to dust?
That's I'm pretty
thing?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've never been tested for it because American healthcare.
I mean, how do you get through life being allergic to dust?
Well, you can get, allergy shots for different stuff that'll, help fix it over time, reduce your susceptibility to it. But yeah.
Boring.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. I mean, there's times where I've been accidentally scratched by something dusty and my skin, bubbles up and gets all red, so that's pretty much the same thing is what they do.
You're sure it's not tetanus or something?
It's not, no.
Yeah. Anyway, is that the update?
Yeah, it's going. Goal to be out of this place, end of April, we put in our official we're moving notice.
Mm-hmm. Today,
that went over well.
do you want to explain more about that?
Oh, why don't you? Go ahead.
I didn't even look at the text message.
Yeah. No, just, this is our notice, 30 days, and the landlord's like, well, I'm confused about why you didn't want me to come in and do upgrades and repairs. Most tenants want that. Things
that... You said in that voice.
Haven't... Well, whatever.
Well, whatever.
Doing
Jim Sterling voice. Most tenants...
yeah.
Most tenants... She's all right.
Triple
like,
A.
As landlords go, she's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, fine. I think it's pretty clear to me, we're getting ready to move out in a month. I don't really want to, miss a couple weeks of work and move all of our furniture out of the house so she can come in and do some cosmetic changes and then move all our stuff back in and then move back out anyway. It's just a bit nonsensical.
The sort of short of it is that to redo the trailer mm-hmm. that we live in, which is nice. I've never lived in a trailer before. It's mm-hmm. two bedrooms. It's 800 something square feet. It's all right.
750 or so, yeah.
But the people who lived here before, I just ripped out the insides, putting stolen cable into stuff. They may have been using it to grow weed, I don't know.
No idea. It was a
But they wrecked the disaster place. Yeah. And not only did they, like, wreck the place, like, they just obviously didn't maintain it at all. Mm-hmm. So, really, the place needs gutting and properly refurbishing.
Yeah.
Not like, just a new...
Yeah, putting new floors down is not going to do it.
I mean, by new floor, we mean the coating of the floor. They're not talking about doing the actual floor.
Well, I mean, we don't know. If they pulled it up and then decide that, oh, there's, like, rot under here, we're going to redo this, so we'll be here for a few more days.
There's definitely rot. There's definitely rot.
There's going to be rot. I mean, there's rot in the surface. Can only use the top kitchen cabinets because the lower ones are rotten.
The last people left, they hooked up their fridge freezer, I suppose their ice unit.
Something.
To, directly from the water line, and then under, when they left.
Yeah, directly under the water line of the kitchen sink.
Yes.
And then, yeah, when they left, they just cut it, I guess. So, when our water got turned on, we were actually still at my grandma's getting ready to move stuff, because we stayed there for a few months before we moved in here. When we first moved to Kentucky, we stayed there for a few months. And my mom was here, like, helping us clean the place up. She put a lot of time in to help it get ready, because it was a disaster, and it was all on us to fix all this, just to make it livable to get in. But, you know, cheap rent, you know what I mean? It was. Still is, really. And my mom was here, like, you know, like, cleaning some things, and then they came and turned the water on, and water just started spraying from under the sink. Like, I can't imagine. My poor mother, like, what the fuck? Bucket, you know.
So,
apparently it looks like they did this at some point before having their water turned off, perhaps, yeah. Because there's, like, rotten segments of floor.
Near the fridge area.
Near the fridge. So I don't know exactly how that happened. I don't know. You can see pictures on Patreon from last year if you really want. That was fun.
We have, you know, stuff on Patreon. No one else has.
That's
right.
It's a
picture of some rotting cardboard and stuff
right.
like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a picture of some chew.
Here's a picture of some mold. Yeah. Anyway, where are we going with this? We're about to move out, so.
And the landlady sent a very lightly shitty message.
Hmm. Yeah.
Would you say?
It really. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to be here in a month, you know.
It doesn't matter. It's just weird that she would say. I mean, she said. Can I say?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
She said, like, in the message that she talked to her lawyer and she can, according to her lawyer, she can come in, but she's not going to.
She can come in and do repairs, but she'll wait until we've moved out to do them. You know, I guess that's a bit. Favor to us. And yeah, the message was like, you're the only tenants I've ever known who didn't want repairs and maintenance done. We've been here a year and a half, you know, when repairs and maintenance could be done. What's obnoxious is, like, we're about to move and now you want to do repairs so that you can sell it, that we're not going to get any benefit from.
The reason
we're going to move out of each room in our house one at a time and then move everything back in so you can put some new floors down, you know. Just wait until we've moved. And I'm pretty confident that if it's really only if it's repairs that are, like, an immediate, like, health hazard, then you can come in anytime. I don't know.
Ooh, continuing in the, we're having a moan. As we discussed, the whole, you know, her saying that about the lawyer, like, I talked to my lawyer and he says I can, but I'm not going to. It annoyed me because it's like, well, why say that? Mm-hmm. But your opinion is she didn't have a point. She was just annoyed.
Yeah, I guess.
But the only reason we're moving is because she told us I'm going to sell it,
yeah. So I'm not going to, and she doesn't know when.
As soon as possible, basically.
Well, I mean, the fact that very suddenly she wants to come in and do these repairs tells me that she's going to try and get rid of it, like, ASAP.
After doing absolutely nothing.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Other than, yeah, we had a broken toilet and she's, you know, her plumber came over and just cut the line to the toilet so we can't use it. That was the solution for over a year now to stop it from running at all. Yeah. And as you probably know if you're watching this, we do have a toilet that works.
You know, we're just shit in the woods right now.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Shit in the woods. Yeah, so I don't know, just weird, but whatever. Won't be our problem soon enough. And, you know, good luck selling it. But, yeah, yeah, I mean, like that's, you know, yeah, I don't even know how much further moaning to do about it. But, yeah, like, we don't want you to come in right before we're going to move to fix a couple things for the purpose of selling it. And we still don't know when it's going to be sold or when we're going to get to move out. Like, we're planning on taking a trip to see your parents for the first time in 6 years, in like a month or so. You know, I don't want to be gone out of the country and come back and be like, I sent you a 30 days notice, so you have to move in a week and a half or some shit. You know what I mean? So it just seems pretty straightforward to me.
It's her point about I've never had tenants not want maintenance would be reasonable if, like, maybe she does think this. Like, we're moving out because of that.
Yeah, right.
Like, no, oh, we...
You told us that you're selling it.
Yeah, and we don't know when, and...
We're not interested in buying it for an unspecified price, you know? We don't even know. So, yeah.
Seriously, you need to... I mean, the roof is the only good thing on it.
Well, we haven't seen the roof, so you don't know that. You know, you can see water damage in a few spots. I've definitely seen way worse, so... That's, you know, it's probably not that bad, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... You know, we've got our bed in the middle of the bedroom floor because there's, like, continuous mold growing on the interior wall, you know.
You know,
try and sleep a few feet away from it, at least.
I just remembered in my... You'll see this soon enough, I suppose, in my childhood bedroom. I don't know if when I was a kid, but definitely, like, the last time I was there, when it would be windy, which would be a lot of the time because it's on a hill... the wallpaper in my bedroom would go...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Like 5 minutes wall, later.
Yeah, draft somewhere, like, under the paper.
A big draft, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that.
Yeah.
Well,
anywho.
So, some actual content now.
Yeah,
Perhaps.
Yeah, so there's an update. We, just to finish the update thing, so, yeah, like, end of April, gonna do our best to have it not affect... You know, work with the channel and stuff. For example, not agreeing to, like, not work for a couple weeks so she can come in and do some things for herself in here. But, you know, there we'll see how things go. There is a lot to do still. Tuesday, we get to go out to supervise a new, like, cable line putting in. Try and sort out the internet thing since it's kind of super important. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's going. We'll be there soon enough. And I was going to say... If you really enjoyed the few videos that we did where it was all done with, like, the background of, like, a weird kind of, like, garage barn thing, the I Just Quit Smoking video, the Jurassic World the third one thing that we did, those interesting backgrounds, those are coming back, so, because that was all at my grandma's house. So, those of you who said that you've missed that set... What we change nothing on, it's just the way it looks. It'll be coming back.
I framed it well, thank you very much.
Yeah, most likely we'll just do the same thing and record around there instead of trying to find a place to rebuild the studio here, like, inside, because there's really not room for that. So yeah, and you'll have some more interesting stuff of an old fireplace and some cast iron skillets hanging on a wall and all that. It was cool, I like that environment. It was interesting to look at. I know, a lot of work. You okay?
Shall we go on?
Yeah. Yep.
I have nothing.
Shit we watched.
Tiny House Hunting. Shit.
Yeah, watch that on
Piss
Hulu.
Piss off.
From the seasons that they have on there, like, from, like, 2014. We already talked about a different tiny house, like, hunting show that
where
we watched.
Where they're building.
Where they're, like, building new ones and stuff.
Or refurbing.
Or refurbing, yeah. And, I mean, I find the whole tiny house thing, like, fascinating. On this, on these different levels of, like, number one, similar themes with this one as the other one we talked about, where you have a lot of people, like, we're doing this because we want to, you know, go small and consolidate our lives and blah, 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 and, you know, and then you get the sense that the real reason is housing is unaffordable, you know, Yeah, so there's a lot of that. The tagline of the show should be, wow, this is tiny.
Because yeah,
that's what every single person says as they enter these places.
In a tone of dread, like...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the fixtures are nice, but This is very small for someone to live in.
So our 2-year-old will have to climb that ladder into the loft every night.
Yeah.
The one couple who was like, we've got 2 kids and we're looking for like a 300-square-foot tiny home, and there's a loft bedroom, and then us and both kids will be sleeping up there in the 4-foot-high ceiling.
Yeah, you can't stand
And you have to climb up the ladder, and just kind of mental. And some of the pricing of them, obviously there's a lot of variety, but there were, like, there was one couple who looked at a 600-square-foot house in San Francisco that was selling for like $650,000. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
This country's fucked. Something from my mom. I don't know. I mean, really just fascinating that, especially this was, the seasons that we watched were like from like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Makes it extra bananas. And all the little fun details of like, yeah, so here's the kitchen, and you know, there's no stove, there's no oven, but there's room for a microwave, and there's a hot plate that we've included. like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, and as ever, this is an issue that wasn't worth discussing until it affected the middle class.
Yeah, as often is the case.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah.
What other crazy shit was going on in there? I mean, the people who were like, yeah, we have a family of 6, and we're looking to move into 300 square feet. Just sad.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, totally. Like, I know I said this before when we talked about one of these shows. I personally like kind of, you know, not like 200 square feet little, but I kind of like smaller living spaces anyways, because, like, I'm not trying to clean, you know, like, not that we'll ever have, like, a 4-bedroom house or some shit, but that's a lot of work, maintaining all that stuff, and, you know, really, you know, I think that there definitely is, like, some kind of a cycle, I'm not saying, like, with everybody, but there definitely seems to be, like, a possibility for people who have, like, a nice-size house to just kind of keep, like, buying things to fill it with, do you know what I mean? Like, the bigger it gets, the more junk people tend to acquire. I don't know, do you get that sense, or...
I don't know. I mean, I've known people who, you know, pretty much live paycheck to paycheck, and they do the same thing.
Yeah. Maybe it's more an individual junk thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about that. Teeny tiny. Like, some of them are fascinating, where it's like, yeah, and so it's 150 square feet. It's, you know, a shed. And there's a compost toilet, so you'll have to dump your shit in a bucket and then put it in a pile out back every 2 days or so.
Yeah, what was the one where they were like, I think it was the family one, and they were talking about the whatever unit next to the toilet and said it's good for 80 flushes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and that, with 6 people, that's less than a week.
I mean, surely, I don't know. I guess it depends. Everybody hold your poop.
Yeah.
Just kind of...
Kind of bananas.
Bananas, that this is what it's come to, yeah.
Bananas. But, I mean, do you think... I think we've even talked about this before. Is it going to end with pods? And people, you know, like...
There's already that out there, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more kind of mainstream-y, normal... Like, not like pods where you can't... Like micro apartments, really. Mm-hmm. Is it going to end up with that, or are we going to, you know, have demographic collapse first?
I mean, I definitely think that this kind of thing is going to just continue to spread, and I also think it's interesting, I know we talked about this before as well, but I think it bears repeating, just how interesting it is, like, people, like, selling and buying, like, luxury tiny homes.
Luxury with a G.
Yes, that's right. Where it's like, yeah, you know, it's only 150 square feet, but it's got marble countertops. And there's a big theme with this series of it's fully furnished. Why the shit would I want that? So you can charge me, like, $3,000 for this little, like, teeny tiny couch. I fucking get a couch. You know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'll get the couch I want.
So I'm gonna, I'll get the couch I want, not this stripy... stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know, and your decorations and shit. and just get what I want and, you know, get one cheap. I mean, that's the point of this, like, tiny house thing, right? Is it's affordable, you know, better than being homeless or renting for the rest of your life.
Or living in an RV.
Which I agree with. Yeah, or living in an RV or a van or whatever.
Or a trailer.
Trailer's not too bad, really.
No, but there's the stigma.
Yeah, I know we talked about this before as well. Like, no, I don't live in a trailer. I live in basically a trailer, but smaller, and it's got marble countertops. You know.
Yeah.
The people as well who are going in, like, the one where it was, like, an older couple, and they were obviously trying to be positive and make the best of it. Because, like, again, I think that a lot of this is a situation of, like, we don't really want to do this, but we kind of have to, can't afford a real house. So we may as well be positive.
Well, we can,
about
but
it.
Only in Detroit, Skid
yeah,
Row.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, and this lady, and there's a lot of them like this, where there's like a little, there's a desk, a built-in office, and it's a desk like a child-sized school desk, exactly. And there's like a little cupboard, teeny tiny cupboard underneath, and she's like, "Wow, look at all this storage! The shit are you talking about?"
That's, yeah, that's a cabinet.
That's a cabinet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. What about these, like, 18 windows everywhere up here, you know? Plenty of room for storage.
The same with the one with the bathroom, where all the cabinets are built into the walls. Mm-hmm. And the lady looking around with her husband is, like, so impressed with this.
Mm-hmm.
That when they go to the next place to look through, so, well, it doesn't have that. Like, that's not saving you space, because that's just cabinets in the wall. You could put cabinets, if they didn't exist, you'd have more space to put cabinets on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It may look nice, but it's not actually clever, is it? It's
yeah, that definitely is a running theme with these various tiny house shows. Like, ooh, look, what was that one? It wasn't even a tiny house thing. It was like, you know, like, God, what was it? The lady's like, "I'm an MIT engineer and I work on helping people make renovations to their house to help them." And it'll be like, a coffee table that mechanically comes up out of the floor. That saves you space. No, that doesn't save you space. And what, I'm gonna
Put it down, take everything off it.
Yeah, clean it thoroughly.
Walk
across it, pull it up, have to like completely sanitize it very closely unless you're cool with people's dirty feet getting all over your food and beverages. And like that's not saving space, you know. Believe it or not, you can get a coffee table that has like drawers in it, or that you can lift the top up and have storage inside. Like it's almost like trying to use like technological little bells and whistles to try and like trick people into thinking that this is better than it is. Do you know what I mean? Like if I were gonna move into a tiny house, be like, look, here's what I want. I want it to be affordable. I do not want to pay whatever, $1,500 a month in rent. I want to save up, you know, or whatever, you know, try and have like a $20,000 or less, you know, for something that I can live in. You know, I don't need the trickery. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I do.
I just feel like, I don't know. Mm.
When I grew up, we didn't have no money for fancy coffee tables. We just put shit on the floor.
There's a whole shelf.
Can of Coke.
That you walk
on the floor.
Yeah, I know how you are.
Floor's best place for it. Yeah. What can it fall on?
Yeah.
You can't knock anything onto the floor from the floor.
Mm.
That's what I do with my plates, just kick them around.
Genius. Just kick them around. Take everything and duct tape it to soccer balls. And then you just kick them around the house, and make room wherever you're going.
Why would you need a soccer ball? Just to get it started, just to get the Katamari ball started.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. Just one big soccer ball containing everything. You just put your hand in there and pull out, like, your thermos,
mm-hmm.
knives and forks. Like, oh, I've got my curriculum vitae in here.
Here's another thought. This tiny house comes with a coat with tons of pockets. You got your silverware in one. You know, you got every book you own in this big backpack on your back.
They call this the George Stobart coat. Yeah, here's a theodolite. Yeah.
So, ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. This is really smart.
Yeah, or you, like we were talking about before, you could do it like Wally in his shipping container.
I don't remember.
He's got loads of bins on a, what would you call it, like an articulated conveyor belt. So he's got like no space, but there's lots of storage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of dangling from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always as well. It isn't always as well, but it often seems to be as well. Like, yeah, so I've decided I'm going to move in with 250 square feet. And it's really important to me to have a full-size bathroom, a six-range oven, and, you know, everything else is normal. Obviously, I need a place to sleep, and I need a place for my punching bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something like that. And yeah. I need a place for my drum set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, I remember that one. It's fascinating, the ones where it's like, yeah, we're looking at a tiny house, and, you know, and I work from home, so... I need to have, like, a little desk area. Like, okay, fair enough. But then they're buying in, like, San Francisco. Like, or, like, New York. Like, the most expensive places you can possibly...
Like, why do you need to work from home and live there? Like,
why don't you just move out to the...
The boonies.
The boonies, and, yeah. You can, you know, have a 600-square-foot house for, like, $100,000. Which is still ridiculous. But, you know, the stuff's out there. So, I don't know.
And what with global warming and all that, maybe we could just all live in tents.
Caves.
Let's just pause then. Caves? No, because there's a finite amount of caves. Caves would be like, oh, you live in a cave. What, with all the natural granite and everything? Stalactites.
Natural granite.
Ooh, who do you think you are? Lardy? Yeah. I have to live in one of them artificial caves. You know, a ditch.
What was that story you were telling me the other day about somebody who got, like, marble, like a marble countertop, and then were complaining about how it was made because they didn't like the colors of the striations?
Yeah, they thought it looked ugly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they had to explain, like, well, it's from the quarry.
Yeah, you know, we don't make marble, just cut it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't they make, well, they must make imitation marble.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough, it's ugly, you don't like it, get a different one, you know. But, yeah, just the idea of, like, they didn't know that, they can't control the way the marble looks.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. I think that's what they should have done with the Cybertruck, actually. They should have lent into that and been like, each one has its own unique marbling.
Yeah. That like, marble-looking composite material on the dashboard with its 90-degree skull cracker. Yeah.
Skull crocker.
Crooker.
All right, are we done with tiny houses?
I think so, yeah. Just fascinating to me, you know. Says a lot about... the state of America.
Oh, as well, those two lesbians who introduce themselves with both more or less saying, what's really important to us in our relationship is that we can have a lot of space. Where we live right now, we have three living rooms. We have three separate sofas and TV areas.
We live in a 3,000 square foot house. Yeah.
Our relationship only works on us being able to be completely isolated from each other at select times.
So we're looking to get a tiny home of about 400 square feet. Step in, wow, this is tiny. Yeah. You know, you can, you can figure this stuff out first. You know, I'm assuming you at least know the measurements of it. Get some tape measure. This is how big it's going to be. You know, whatever.
All right, Mary Kay.
Letourneau.
Okay. Notes on a Scandal.
Yeah, just watched that. Was that yesterday? HBO... documentary. I believe it's probably Investigation Discovery. Not a whole lot to say for me, just do you want to summarize it, what it's about?
In the 90s?
Mid to late 90s, yeah.
A female school teacher had an affair with a 12-year-old boy and got preggers, is the technical term, by him.
Technical term, yes.
And she, I think I've got this right, she begged to be spared jail. She was, and then she went out and got preggers by him again within weeks.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was. She did do a little bit of time, but it was very short. Like, I thought it was like a matter of like a couple months or something. I can't recall. But yeah, let him back out. She was let out.
She was seen as not a danger to the community.
Not a danger to the community.
The child rapist.
Yeah, yeah. And then, within like 2 weeks after getting released, she was caught having sex with him in public for a second time and was pregnant again. And just the reason to talk about it is really interesting that, you know, 2024, like, I should think most of us can agree that child rape is not a good thing and that 12-year-olds cannot consent. But people who are being interviewed for this story, I want to say it came out like last year or something, the documentary, who like lived in the town and stuff, who were talking about like, well, I think they really were in love.
That was really his neighbors, yeah.
And there were a couple of people kind of, around the situation who were kind of saying the same thing. I think they did love each other and, when she got out of prison the second time, they got married. Before she died of cancer. Spoilers.
She got out of prison, married him, and then had kids with him.
Mm-hmm. Had more kids, yeah. And people somehow felt like that, you know, like, there were people saying that, like, oh, they got married, you know, so, yeah, it was real. It's grooming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just interesting that when you're watching, I had to keep reminding myself that this was just in the like mid to late 90s, because it felt like this is something that, you know, people would be saying this kind of shit, and especially the people who were interviewed like recently for this,
yeah,
would be saying like, you know, like fucking like 50 years ago or some shit. I mean, do you remember the story I told you about? I'm sure you do, about the like 30-something-year-old dude in Kentucky who married a 10-year-old, got parental consent to marry her. And I saw like newspaper articles like from the, this was in like the 60s or something, newspaper articles like talking about like, you know, how everybody says like, well, they're in love, you know, so this is not, you know, this is fine. They ended up being, you know, she ended up having like 6 kids by the age of 15 and they stayed married, you know, their whole lives. So yeah, it was real. They loved each other. And like this picture in the newspaper of this dude with this teeny tiny child and a doll that he gave her for like their wedding anniversary, like a child's doll. It feels like more that era. Disgusting shit that nobody should be making excuses for anymore.
In fairness, there were people in the 90s when it was happening who were saying,
absolutely,
she's a child predator.
Yeah, you know. This is a pedophile, yeah.
I thought it was a good documentary.
It was interesting, yeah.
It was interesting.
And they talked to, when she was in prison, I can't remember if it was the first or the second time, where she went to, like, a special, like, pedo unit, and her therapist was on camera talking about her. That was really interesting stuff.
She was saying,
yes, like, she's, you know, deeply resistant to, you know, admitting anything other than this is a love story and we're in love. Stan Romanek, yes, good old pedo denial. Pretty much this therapist lady saying that she concluded that she would never not be a danger to this kid and he would never escape her if they were allowed to have contact. I think that was the first time, because then it was after that she slept with him again. It's interesting, you know, if you can stomach that kind of stuff.
Yep. Well, now something a lot lighter. 2020's Ruby Frankie, from Momfluencer to Felon.
Yep, that just came out. ABC's 2020. It's like an hour 20 minutes or something. We'd read about this case.
Could they not do before a pun there? Momfluencer to Felon?
Like, give me one.
Momfluencer to Lucifer?
Is that a pun?
What's a pun? What's a pun?
Lots of film.
And what is a punk?
Could use a snappier title. Yeah. Pun, a play on words. Anyway, would you like to
Mumkapat
summarize what this is about? This one.
Sure. Ruby Frank, Frankie, Franco Potenka. Ruby Frankie, was a pretty famous YouTuber. She had 2 million subscribers or something.
Pretty big, yeah.
Pretty big. Who made mommy blogs about her family.
And about, like, tough parenting.
And over time, she slipped into that. She was pretty much always a scam artist, as I think pretty much all of them probably are. They're in it for the money. They're not in it to share any knowledge or anything. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, they said that she was recording at the peak that they were doing, like, 5 or 6 videos a day of, like... Like, it would be, like, one of the ones they showed was... Because I'd never heard of her until all this... She was arrested and this all came out. There's one, you know, where she's, telling her very tiny child that she's gonna, like, destroy her toy. And then the kid cries and, you know, that kind of thing. And it came across like there were people watching her videos who were calling her out for pretty blatantly abusive stuff, like, while she was still posting this stuff. It was child abuse. But then it was way worse than anybody ever knew.
Yeah, so then she got involved with someone called Jody, who was a life coach. Red flag. Who basically, it looks like, kind of... I developed some sort of extremely deep, codependent, weird, destructive relationship. Mm-hmm. And they ended up torturing their kids. And it only came out because a 12-year-old boy, well, her 12-year-old son, mm-hmm. not Jody's, but Ruby Frankie's, mm-hmm. Escaped their house and went to neighbors' houses and... ask them to call the police, and they did.
And to give them food and water. Give them
food and water, mm-hmm. and the conditions of the children were just...
deplorable.
If he hadn't got out and done that...
This would still be happening.
Or it would have stopped after one of the kids died. Mm-hmm. That's where it was going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and what did she get, 30 years?
I think so.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was with a plea bargain as well, to testify kind of against Jody. And it's worth saying that there's a strong religious element to this. Frankie was a, you know, on camera, I'm your ideal Mormon mom.
And oh, she was a Mormon, was she?
She was raised Mormon, she was Mormon. But then they were kind of like...
Well, that's a fucking cult.
Yeah. Then they were kind of like getting into their own cult thing. And she kept detailed journals of the abuse that was inflicted on... She had, like, several kids, but it was just these two, the two youngest, that all this was inflicted upon, which is not uncommon with abusive parents, to kind of single out one child or a couple of the kids who are the targets of all of this. And it was the two youngest, were they, like, 8 and 12 or something like that? Horrific stuff. Yeah. Starving them.
Binding
them up. The boy, I mean, they show you some pictures.
Yeah.
He was, intense, severely infected wounds where he'd been bound for, like, long periods of time and weighted down. And
he looked like a concentration camp victim.
Yeah, the girl was, like, they were both severely malnourished, talking about, like, shaving their heads to punish them. And some of this stuff, like, what makes it the most interesting is that this shit was on YouTube. Not the most extremes of it, but clear red flags. Like, making a video about... My 5-year-old forgot to grab her lunch this morning, so she's just going to starve, and then I'm going to shave her head when she gets home from school to punish her. Pretty big red flag. You know, if you're sharing that with the world, who knows what's going on behind the scenes?
Yeah.
You know? If that's the positive public face you put on, to sell people on your, like, you know, parenting stuff?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of, I think it was either called Family 05 or Daddy 05. Mm. Maybe it was the same thing. A similar thing with family vloggers on YouTube. And they would constantly pick on one of their kids. I think his name was Cody or Corey or something. Mm-hmm. And film themselves, like, doing horrible stuff to him, like telling him they'd smashed his Xbox for being naughty, mm-hmm. or setting something up where he'll walk in a room and think, oh no, something's broken or something like that, And then the dad comes in and is like, I can't believe you broke that, and screaming at him, mm-hmm. making him cry. And mm-hmm. then at the end being like, oh, it was all a video. Like, that makes it better.
That was kind of a thing for a while, for a little while, wasn't it? Because I've seen stuff like that too, where it's like, some of these have like lots of followers and views that are like, yeah parenting advice, where it'll be like, while our kid was at school today in kindergarten, we took all of his toys and all of his stuff out of his room and hid them. And we're going to tell him we threw away all of his belongings. And then he'll cry and, you know, be miserable. And then we'll be like, psych, it was just a joke. And then post that. Very funny, guys, huh? Like, it's emotional abuse.
Yeah, well,
torture.
With the, I think I'm right in saying that with the Family or Daddy 05 thing, they had quite a big following of people who were fans, but then they got bigger, you know, as it often happens, they got bigger quite quickly. That, like, they were big, like, I don't know, like 500,000 or something, that it had taken them a few years, and then suddenly, you know, over the course of 6 months, they went to 1,000,000. And a lot of it towards the end was people who clearly fucking hated them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember reading that before it, like, really blew up, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the comments, like, I'd say majority of the comments were people saying, this is abuse.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, it almost takes a turn into like a hate watch thing.
Yeah.
Which you can also make money on.
Well, I think a lot of people make money on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. It's just that I don't think there's anything even wrong with that necessarily. It's just that it's taken this turn, right? Where, you know, I don't know, like, maybe not a hate watch, but a lot of early YouTube was kind of like that. Like, I didn't watch What in the Butt because I'm into that music. I watched it in horror,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'll watch it again because it was very funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's a bad example.
Nobody's getting hurt there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like the angry video game nerd getting, like, pissed off at old games. Like, no one's getting hurt and he's not really getting pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, I like to hate watch things sometimes. It can be fun, you know, the pausing, what the fuck, every so often. It can be amusing. But it seems like there's almost, I don't even know what it is, if people feel like there's an incentive to, I mean, here's what it comes down to, I guess. This lady probably was going to abuse her children whether or not it was on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? Or whether or not
she was an
influencer. It comes across that way.
Yeah.
The level of crazy, talking about, you know, I was telling my 12-year-old that he is Lucifer and, you know, like, just nut job shit. I have a feeling she would have done that anyways. But maybe there was, I guess here it's multifaceted, right? Because if you are doing the shit and then you create like a YouTube channel about it where people are enjoying it and reinforcing the idea that this is good, maybe that contributed to it worsening, you know, getting like, feeling like righteous and justified in what you're doing. And on the other hand, maybe it, maybe just this all being on YouTube helped, you know, to
stop it
because, but then on the other hand, they were saying that there had been multiple child services visits from, because people would view it on the channel and then call CPS, to report it. And yeah, they'd come out and like every time, whatever, no big deal. Wasn't there one where she's like, she didn't answer the door, so we just left.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have a warrant. And, I mean, the problem...
No evidence.
I think was... I can't remember if they said this directly, but I think the problem was is that both Ruby and Jody had massive houses where they could hide people.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ferry the kids between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they found the kids at Jody's house.
Yeah.
And she had, like, a... Almost like a panic room slash, like... They thought that it was being used for, like, the torture, where they found ropes
what
and handcuffs.
What panic room
and...
has the lock on the outside?
Right.
It was a safe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a place to lock up a child, to torture them.
Yeah, I mean, those two people.
Mm. Yeah, pretty disgusting shit. The documentary's interesting.
You're right, because the only reason it stopped was because the kid got out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason it stopped. The kid escaped and, you know, went to a neighbor's house and the neighbor called the police. And that phone call is
like,
something.
So the kids weren't going to school?
No, I think it said they were being homeschooled, which consisted of, like, reading Bible stuff.
And getting beaten.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, both get severely malnourished, and all this detailed in her journal, her daily journal of the shit she would do to them, and with the tone of, like, this is righteous and, you know, awesome and I'm great. Like, the bit where she's like, today is my son's 12th birthday and he has no idea what month it is, because he's been locked up. They were saying that, like, some of the kids were, like, locked up, restrained for, like, months.
I mean, when the cops get there to that little girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's terrified.
Yeah. And looks like a way younger than she was. I mean, skeletal, you know. Horrific stuff.
Psycho.
Yeah. And there was more that I'd read about this a little bit that didn't even make it in. I believe didn't make it in, that I'd, like, read in some articles. Where Ruby Frankie had, so she had this journal that they found all this stuff in. She had, like, a separate journal that was, like, her writings that, when the time was right, would be released and part of the gospel. Like she was, like, trying to write a new Bible kind of deal.
Released and part of the new gospel, like it's, like, the DSM.
It'll be taught at university.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrific stuff. I mean, I don't know, do you have anything else to say about it, necessarily?
I mean, it's... I guess it's a failure of the state that it happened, because I think, you know, for most kids who, if there was a prolonged absence from school, that would be an alarm bell. If the kid turned up to school with...
Well, that's why they weren't in school, right?
Well, no, I know, but yeah. That's why there needs to be something where mm-hmm. people who do homeschool still have their kids checked up upon. For that exact reason, because sure, 99% of them aren't doing that.
But... Or even, like, if you've gotten multiple CPS calls about a particular person or residence, maybe look into that a little more, you know? I don't know, man. It's, I mean, definitely a failure.
It's pretty satisfying when Jody gets arrested. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was.
I'm on the phone to my attorney. That's great, Jody!
Yeah, I know. I know. Like, the police are... justifiably pissed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, good job, all those police officers. That one, who was, like, one of the first ones to respond, like, crying, you know. She's like, oh, I gotta step away from this. And, yeah. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, it's good.
Yeah. Low, hard.
A little difficult, yep. We watched it on Hulu. It's an ABC thing, 2020. You know. If you like this kind of stuff, it was an interesting one.
Lighting it up, quiet on set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lightening it up. Quiet on set.
The Dark Kids of TV.
Side of Kids TV, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
Dark Kids of TV.
The Dark Kids of Side TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By Dark Kids, I mean, like, Wednesday Addams.
Yes.
Yes.
A fun kind of Dark Kids, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, so that's new as well. What was that on? That's on HBO as well. We got several HBO things in this episode. Abuses in kids' TV, especially Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
In the 90s, early 2000s, perhaps. Specifically focusing on Dan Schneider, who was a producer and showrunner at Nickelodeon, had loads of power. He worked on all kinds of shows that... If you watched Nickelodeon around that era, you'd remember, like, it's like All That, like a comedy, like sketch comedy thing for kids. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Several of those Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, right.
And the short story here, creepy pedos who are protected by Hollywood. As, you know, seems to be the case so much. I guess really, you know, what it's about in a sense is like where there's a lot of money to be made or power to be had, and where there are structures where some people have loads of power over others, it seems like there's a tendency to people to protect themselves, you know, like some of the like parents and kids who are like on these shows who experience some things, not necessarily like sexual assault, but, like, weird abusive stuff, you know, it was clear to them, like, you know, this is what you have to do if you want to be in this industry. You know, do you want to quit and never do this again? Do you want to be poor? There's nothing worse than being poor. So, you know, yeah, send some pictures of your child's feet to Dan Schneider.
Well, that was a tweet.
Yeah, there were other things too. I don't actually think they mentioned all of it in the episode because I read a little about it after. Yeah, he'd been accused multiple times of sending text messages to child actors that worked on his shows asking for pictures of their feet.
Just so dumb.
It's not if you are fully protected, I guess. You know, these people who, you know, it's not just like Hollywood shit. These people are everywhere. In all kinds of industries, especially ones where there are access to children and when there's a degree of money and power involved. Fucking Boy Scouts, the Catholic Church, you know, access and protection. Sorry, what were you going to say? I totally just jumped over you there.
I know. Feet, huh?
Yeah. And there's, I mean, it's interesting. There are loads of clips from various Nickelodeon shows. This is like the first episode where they start talking about this, where like things that if I had seen it as a kid, I wouldn't have known. And these shows are made for kids, but the various ones of like, here's a clip of one of the shows where, you know, this like child actress is
Ariana Grande
was one of them. There were several laying back on a bed and dumping water all over her face doing this.
Doing what?
You know, like, just wow.
And biting her own feet.
Sucking her own toes in one of them. Uh-huh.
Saying that, though, I'd rather suck my own toes than some randos.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Mm. Fair enough. Can you reach?
Yeah. I'm not gonna... Yeah, I can put my...
I didn't say demonstrate.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
Yes. What? How old do you think I am? What, I can't reach my own feet. You mean with my mouth? Yes. Okay. Get my leg behind my head.
No, you cannot.
I can.
No, you can't.
Last time I tried, I could.
Nonsense.
Yes! I can, yes. The last time I tried, I did it fine.
You show me later.
I'm not... No.
Okay.
I'm not saying both of them. One at a time.
I believe you. Yes, you're very flexible. Yeah, a lot of stuff like that that you wouldn't, you know, if you were just a kid watching this, you wouldn't necessarily think about it. But then, like, seeing it as an adult, and especially putting all these clips together, all these various shows, like the one where the girl, like, squeezes something gooey, like, into her face, into her eye. And lots and lots and lots of feet of children. Pretty disgusting. And, you know, there were people that made complaints and things like that. Nothing was ever done about it. And there was all kinds of little side details.
It was like, extremely verbally abusive. Yeah, extremely hostile to people. Like Logan from Succession. Logan Roy type thing.
Yeah. Very gross. Yeah. And then there's kind of a... It slows down a little bit in the later episodes. They kind of veer off a little bit to talk about Brian Peck as well, this dialogue coach for Nickelodeon, who was charged with child sex abuse in 2003 and received loads of letters of support from people around the industry saying that they don't believe he would do this and, you know, protecting him, more or less.
Including, what's his name, Marsden?
Yeah, James Marsden, Cyclops / Sonic guy. And some of them have since, you know, put out statements saying, like, well, I didn't really know.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right.
But then
maybe you should have known.
Maybe you should have known before you write.
Maybe just don't do it and let the court handle it instead of saying, he's a really nice guy. I can't imagine that he would rape a child. Well, he did. You know. So. Super depressing stuff.
Wouldn't you love to write to the court and be like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yep.
Dear Your Honor, let me tell you a little story about made-up name McGee. My absolute twat, first of all.
Dickhead.
I said you could borrow my Ford Fiesta for a day. I didn't see him for 2 weeks.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but it's worth a watch. Is that on Netflix?
That one is also on HBO.
Oh.
I believe that was an Investigation Discovery thing as well.
What does HBO stand for?
I don't know. I don't remember.
His Bastard's Voice.
Does it?
No, is that it?
Could be. I don't fucking know. HBO.
Hong Kong Bayou Ole.
Hmm. Give us another one.
Hot body odor.
That's pretty good. Yeah. May have been accurate in the earlier days of HBO.
Or, you know, we don't say the word sausage in Britain. We say, what would it be? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hungry banger oral.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's on HBO, HBO Max. Worth watching. Again, pretty gross, disturbing, but interesting, kind of in context of just the way that, I guess, in the last, say, decade especially, you know, people are becoming more, let's say, less tolerant of this shit. You know, really, Weinstein changed everything. You know. But, yeah. The hole goes deep. Rabbit hole, that is.
Yeah.
Shut up. So, I mean, anything else to say about that?
No, you know, it's... it's not as horrific as the Ruby Frank thing, but in many ways it's much worse because it's institutionalized.
Yeah, a lot of people protecting, you know, as long as, I mean, the way that I read it, like, you know, Schneider, you know, was making all these shows that were making loads of money, yes. So, you know, didn't really have much of an interest in putting a stop to what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make the money now. It's all about this quarter. This quarter, we need to make a big amount of money. We'll worry about the whole rape thing later.
You know? Yeah, and from the C-suite's perspective, it's definitely easier and more profitable to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't know. What do we got next?
We didn't listen.
We didn't listen.
Very quick break, would you like?
Sure! Let's have a very quick break.
5 minutes later.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back. Well, now?
Now, briefly, three body problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm making a video kind of about it.
Yeah.
So I'm...
using it as an example for...
for something. So, yeah. What did you think about... well, what is the three body problem?
It's a Netflix series. It's an adaptation of, I guess, like one of the most popular sci-fi books. I believe it's a trilogy that came out... this century.
Right.
That's what I read anyway. I knew nothing about the novels or anything. I just saw it was number one on Netflix. And we were scrolling past. And it was in like their banner.
Yeah.
And where it's like playing a little video and we were both like, that looks shit. And then saw it was like number one in streaming. So like, all right, let's watch that.
Oh, that's not why we watched it. We watched it because there's one of the main characters is the same... guy in Moon.
Oh, well, that's not why, but seeing him definitely made me like, oh, okay, let's check that out. Because he was the best part of Moon. The
sure.
Chubby British dude. He was funny. Yeah.
Sure.
And Moon was not as terrible as I was expecting. No. Knew what it was, didn't try and convince me it was smart. Unlike this. yeah, three-body problem.
Did it try and convince you it was smart?
Well, it came across that way to me. I mean, they're just... were things that made me like, ugh. You know, when they said the line, like, science is breaking down, and I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean?
Ugh.
Which sciences?
You know, our understanding, or...
yeah, like, what do you mean?
Actual science, like...
what are you talking about? Yeah.
Molecules getting bigger, atoms getting smaller.
It really didn't even make it clear to me in the show. Like, I didn't read anything about it until after we'd watched the whole thing. Just wanted to try and see it as, like... just as a show, and not read about, like, what should have been there. From what I'm seeing, the people saying that the book is, like, very science-heavy, and it talks a lot about, like, concepts in physics, and that it's, like, the rules of physics are, like, not making sense anymore, I guess. Something like that is what they meant by science is breaking down, science is failing. The first episode was all right. I was like, okay, I mean, I'll watch another one. It's interesting enough kind of premise. You know, don't really like it, but it could get all right. And it doesn't.
What was your biggest problem with it then?
My biggest problem was the amount of time wasting. Like, it seems to be marketed as, like, this is, you know, about, like, science. And, like, oh, cool. I like science. Yeah, let's check that out. And then, like, so much of it is just, like, you know, the top... Okay, number one, the top scientific minds in the world are, like, five British people that are all friends and dating each other in England. And, like, I could not give two shits about all of these time-wasty asides about, well, I have a crush on this other scientist. Get back to the motherfucking aliens. You know, that's what the story is.
Yeah.
It's aliens, by the way. Which you can work out easily in the first episode, so don't worry about it.
That's not the twist, though. I mean, they established that pretty early on.
Very quickly, yeah. And apparently, it takes, like, half the first book to kind of get to that point. They kind of... Again, I didn't read any of this stuff till after... and just what I've seen people on the interwebs saying about this book series I've never read again, that, like, the first episode is, like, the first 50% of the first book.
Right.
And then, all the stuff about, these all, like, 20-something, I'm 25-year-old model and I'm head of a nanotechnology research institute and nobody in the world understands this technology better than I do.
Very bright. And good look, don't hate for her being good looking.
It's not that at all. I know. It's more the face like that, yeah. And, like, yeah, the,
Only Michael Keaton can get away with it.
You know, talk. I'm a scientist. I don't know. It's just weird.
I just thought it was two-dimensional, especially the characters.
Yeah.
That's what stopped me from really... giving a fuck.
Yeah, there's, like, multiple of these characters, but I don't really give a shit about any of them. Asian lady scientist is the most interesting to me. She actually has, like, a little bit to do in terms of, like, you know, like, get on a whiteboard and, like, explain this idea of, you know, how to use nuclear bombs to move this thing through space, and, like, that's the more interesting stuff to it. But then cut back to, like, you know, all the, I mean, two-dimensional is even being kind, I think. We've got a fat businessman who isn't in it nearly long enough, like the most interesting actor of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows if it's the acting, if it's the directing, whatever. I don't care. Just a viewing experience.
He's playing the same character pretty much.
Yeah. Funny character. So, a fat, rich guy, businessman. We've got...
He's not that fat. But that is actually, you're right, that's his personality. He's always eating or thinking about eating. That's pretty much it.
That's it. We've got black guy, pothead, scientist.
What color was all the he fat does. Guy?
Fat white guy.
Fat
white British dude.
Yep.
We've got...
Normal-sized pothead black
25-year-old sexy scientist lady whose makeup is freshly done.
All the
like
time.
2 seconds ago, and her hair freshly done like 2 seconds ago, and, you know, humanity is ending. I don't know. Got time for touching up the lip liner, though.
Just tattooed on.
Yeah, I know, we were joking that it's tattooed on, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why
just what she looks
she's
like.
Not bothered about it. And so who are the characters? White guy scientist who's going to die.
Yes.
That's his only character. Yeah. I'm gonna die. And has a crush on Asian lady scientist.
Bit of a wimp. But maybe not.
Yep. Who else is there? There's, like, Irish, like,
head
government dude.
MI... No, he's at head of SIA.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Special Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. And he's head of that, but also he's head of, like, the world effort.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the scientists, their, like, boyfriend, who is...
like a Royal Navy Commodore or something.
I'm in the Navy guy. That's his character. I'm in the Navy. yeah. And some... really kind of silly concepts that maybe were in the book, I don't know, but like the whole nanowire thing with the ship. Can we just talk about what a dumb plan that is?
Well, I think you have to explain what it is.
Okay, so our team of scientists is trying to get a hard drive with like an alien AI on it and it's in the possession of some guy.
Jonathan Pryce.
Who's on like a cruise ship going through the Suez Canal with like a bunch of people living on it and like kids and all kinds of stuff. So we need this hard drive with this alien AI on it. So what we're gonna do is use this 25-year-old scientist's.
Stop saying that.
It's just funny. Like
she could be 35.
Whatever. That's still nonsense. I mean, it,
yeah, I would have loved if that character had been played by Patrick Moore.
He was like, I've been working on this nanowire for 55 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, like fresh out of college, didn't even do any postgraduate degrees.
She's really smart. She did all that back in her teens.
Well, I mean, the problem is not like she's attractive and smart. It's just we don't see her do anything smart or, you know, show us in any way. That they just keep telling us, like, this lady, you're the only one who's, like, a master of this technology. But we don't see that. All we see is, like, her, like, we're going to kill people to save the world, like, over and over and over. Mm. It's weird.
I don't like her character's name either.
What was it? I can't remember.
Augie. Mm-hmm. To me, that sounds like a racist word against eggplants.
Hmm.
Oh, looks they've invaded my plate. There's more orgies. I can't stand aubergine now.
Dear Netflix. So they're going to get this hard drive off of this ship. So we're going to take these nanowires that, you know, like super small, like invisible, super strong, and we're going to lift it up on these like pylons on either side of the canal, and then these wires are going to cut through the entire ship.
Like a cheese cutter.
Like a cheese cutter or like one of those things you use to like slice up a boiled egg, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You can also go bing, bing, bing.
That's right. Bing. Doubles is a musical instrument.
Yeah. Where every wire is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this and it's like, oh, you know, it's cutting people in half and all kinds of stuff in a really, you know, not very gory way, you know? I mean, there's one point where it like cuts somebody in half, and then there's just, like, it's like the inside is made of Play-Doh. It's just cut straight down.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody get, like, a little cut?
Yeah, there'd be way more blood spray.
Your intestines fly out like they're on a fucking spring when you get cut into, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, well, so then
they... I've seen the opposite, sort of, like, ragdoll physics, like someone gets hit by this and just goes...
flying into the sun.
Yeah. Another thing was it's going quite slowly. Yeah. So you'd think, ow, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you'd think, or, I mean, there's no, yeah, it's just, like, the ship engine that's propelling it forward. I mean, these things are so super strong, would it not just, I mean, what the fuck do I know, but would it not just, like, stop? Maybe cut a little bit in and then, like, I don't know.
Or, just because the nanowire is strong, it's on these big...
pylons.
Rusty pylons. Wouldn't it bring the pylons down, or wouldn't it, like, so there's no... There's no give at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It's weird.
It's more so like, I don't know if I appreciate the idea. I don't think it's very clever or anything. And it wasn't really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. Could have been. But the problem really is just they didn't need that. That invention was not necessary in any way to do what they wanted. That's where I was
going with this, yes. Like, you didn't need to do any of that.
No.
If the idea is we need to get this hard drive and we worry that if they see us coming to take it, that they'll destroy it or do something with it, it easily could have been destroyed by these wires coming, you know, that are coming through and cutting the ship in half.
Easily.
Or just the ship collapsing on top of it. You know, you see it like fan out like a like deck of cards at the end.
Yeah.
And that didn't harm the hard drive. I mean, surely, like special forces people could have done this.
Yeah.
You didn't need scientist lady and then have her walking around the aftermath afterwards to be like, there's a child's severed leg there. Oh, my God. You're telling me that we're killing people with my wires that can kill people?
Yeah.
Just very weird. Like, we had to keep, like, pausing and talking about, like, much more reasonable ways to do this. Yeah. You were like, well, they're in the canal. I mean... There's, like, Port Authority. They could just stop them and be like, we're doing a check and,
you know,
go and take it. Yoink.
Yeah.
Mine. You could, I mean, you know, just send some dudes
that
up.
That bald harbor hand is new, isn't he?
Have a solid snake dude just swim up to like the water tank on the ship and, you know, drill a little hole in and inject some
Himself into it.
Inject himself into it. Yeah. Yes. You know, some cyanide in the water tank. Boom. Everybody will be gone in a couple days.
I mean, you don't really need to kill everyone, do you?
Probably, you don't need to.
Probably don't really need to kill anyone.
Yeah. Probably not. There are probably all kinds of ways to acquire this hard drive that would make way more sense. And I mean, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I was waiting for it for them to like get in and start digging through the rubble and be like, oh, here's the hard drive, it's cut in half. Yeah. Damn, this was a dumb idea.
Yeah. The next scene is like the game over screen of like
time paradox.
MI5,
yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. It was just not great.
I think another problem, which, yeah, I don't know if it's better in the book or not, but the aliens are 400 years away, mm-hmm. and I don't know. So, like, are we ever going to see them? Like, are we ever going to see them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we going to skip time? What, you know?
Well, we'll have to wait like 2 years to find out in the next season, which I won't be watching.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
I don't know. I was also annoyed by the marketing for this. You know, I mean, I guess it was effective. I did, you know, heard what the show, that there was a show called Three Body Problem. But like, I just read one the other day where the headline was like, X-rated scene in Three Body Problem divides viewers or some shit. And we'd already watched it by then. I was like, X-rated scene? What are they talking about? So, like, I clicked on it, which is, you know, of course what they wanted. So there you go. And, I mean, there we go. Oh, there's a scene where there are some people naked in some water.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of boobs, and there's a bit of a penis in the background. That's X-rated? The fuck are you talking about?
A bit of a penis.
Like, did like an 8-year-old write this? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Weird.
And that definitely read to me as, like, probably a combination of clickbait for, I don't even remember what the fucking,
Shitrag.com.
Probably Screen Rant or something.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Collider.
That's what I said.
Yes. You know, like, this will make people click, blah, blah, blah. Or, I don't know if that was, in any way, you know, Netflix adjacent, you know. Whatever it is, just the hype machine around this was very weird as well. I did not like it. Sam, I am.
You didn't like it because you didn't understand it because you're pretty smart about science and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what the little that I've read is people saying, like, no, the science stuff is really detailed in the book. And, like, that, and people complaining in, like, negative reviews about it, which they're both negative and positives. Negative reviews, like, that they cut out all that stuff and like took like one main character and broke it up into these like five characters that mm-hmm. are really one-dimensional, nobody cares about, and adding all these like romance subplots.
Yeah.
That's where I really started to get annoyed. Is like, okay, episode 5, let's take a break and do 2 episodes about absolutely nothing nobody cares about.
Someone who's got cancer sort of contemplating death.
I get it. Move on. Yeah. You know, like, multiple scenes of, like, I'm gonna die. Yeah, we know.
But the aliens, the aliens.
Aliens. Yes, get back to the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else to say about that? That's really all I got.
No.
Just did not enjoy it. I mean, some of the shit was so, like, laugh out loud, kind of cringe. The little girl, like, save me! In the game, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
And then the bit where they're, like, in, there's this game where people keep, like, picking up, or sent these, like, alien, obviously, like, alien technology, like, VR helmets. And, like, what is this? This, we don't have this technology. Yeah. And put it on, there's, like, a game inside to figure out the three-body problem.
Excuse me. Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
And, do you know the part I'm going to talk about? Do you?
No, well, go on.
The bit where they fail to solve the game again. And, like, lava is, like, coming through the windows behind them. And little girl rides in on a horse on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Going, save me! I kept thinking, like, this is like a David Cage game, almost. And then we cut to the katana lady. You have failed this level, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is some David Cage shit.
Yeah, because there's almost, like, no gameplay in
There's no gameplay, game. Yeah. It's not a game at all.
Yeah, I mean, the one bit I liked was chubby British funny dude hitting whoever he was meant to, Count Wolseley or something.
That was funny.
Yeah, like, that's what a gamer would do, is test the parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be going through his pockets.
Yeah.
You know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, I wonder if it was a game in the book, because it doesn't really seem like it would need to be a game for the purpose, the alien's purpose.
They said that, like, this is, they're sending this to, like, the best and brightest scientific minds to try and, like, gather them in to, whatever reason. But, like, surely that's not the best way to do that. I don't know. I guess what's most frustrating to me is, like, there are, like, the bones of a story here that could have been really interesting, I think. An interesting concept. Of, like, we've discovered aliens are on their way here because, like, a Chinese lady sent them a radio message saying, like,
please come and conquer us.
Please come and conquer us. We can't save ourselves. I mean, that's the moment where I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, that is why you don't let political prisoners talk to aliens.
Probably not a good idea. Yeah. Probably not. And yeah, I just felt like there were all these, like, setups for what could have been interesting that ultimately kind of got sidelined in favor of, I have a crush on other scientist lady and blah, 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 blah. I don't give a shit. You know. So, anything other thoughts about that, or?
No, what do you think about their idea of sending a brain?
I know, we're gonna freeze this guy's brain and send it to space.
The maidens are great.
And then maybe the aliens will reconstruct his body, and then he can send us back recon about them somehow. I wasn't really clear what the purpose of that whole plan was.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Frustrating. Next. Okay, a good thing, again. The Truth versus Alex Jones. New on HBO.
It's a documentary about the defamation civil lawsuit against Alex Jones by the, or some of the parents of some of the children slain in the Sandy Hook massacre. He has been defaming them for years and harassing them and making their lives unlivable, and as you probably know, he recently had to pay like $1 billion to them. Be quiet, Mumu.
Or he was ordered and was found liable for $1 billion and hasn't paid any of it.
And this is a documentary more or less mainly about the trial.
Yeah.
With quite a lot of background, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah, me
it
too.
It was very effective and very emotive, and I was fucking pissed off watching this.
Yeah.
In a good way, you know.
And it was tight. You know,
yes, it was. It didn't waste time.
It was like an hour and a half.
Something like that.
It was tightly told. I mean, there was loads of stuff involving that trial that, like, didn't even make it in. Like, just interesting little tidbits. And where I can understand why they left some of that out, because it's not really super relevant to just kind of focusing on the trial and his actions during the trial. How he, you know, refusing to give discovery to the other side, and then got ruled against by default.
Because he didn't provide discovery.
He wouldn't comply with discovery. And then him saying, we gave them all everything they asked for, and they just decided that we were wrong anyway. You know, like, shit that's just blatantly false. You know, yes. Provably false.
Provably false. I mean, I always, you know, did a video about Alex Jones ages ago, but he's like a whirlpool. Like, if you start reading about him, you've got to be careful, because that could be your day. I always knew that he, you know, said a lot of lies, but one thing I didn't realize was the whole Anderson Cooper interview with one of the parents. He pointed to for a long time being doctored, being in front of a green screen, because there's a bit where Anders Cooper's face turns, and there's like a kind of like an artifact, you know, like it almost like almost fades out for a second, like the very
something doesn't like render properly, and you can get like a weird little little glitch almost.
Yeah, which wouldn't indicate it was a green screen anyway. But he's been saying that for years. It turns out he doctored it.
Yeah.
The original didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did it.
He did it. That is fucking nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it isn't that nuts because, you know, his, like, millions of followers and, you know, cultists believe it.
Yeah, but that is someone who's not thinking down the line, mm-hmm. like, 10 years or something. Like, someone is going to be able to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just because they're not going to be able to do anything about it now.
Yeah. And I guess we should say, if you're not familiar with this at all.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah, the core of it is, like, didn't they say, like, the day of Sandy Hook, Alex Jones was on InfoWars.
Explain what Sandy Hook is.
Sandy Hook Massacre. You know,
26 dead.
26 children. 26 total dead, most of them children, in a school shooting. And Alex Jones, like, the day of the massacre, was on InfoWars talking about how this is a false flag and all these parents are crisis actors. And his evidence is, like, yeah, like that video of Anders Cooper's talking to one of the parents, and he's like, this is clearly a green screen. Doesn't look like that to me.
This guy's an actor. He's method acting.
This guy, before he came up to the podium to start talking, did, like, a nervous chuckle. That's an actor. He's acting. He's method acting, he kept saying. Like, I don't think you know what that
word
means.
Method acting is.
Yeah, and these people were harassed, stalked, suffered all kinds of shit.
Threatened.
People going up to them on the street saying, your child didn't die, your child never existed. One person, somebody came and knocked on their door and was like, I know your kid is still alive, let me in to see them. You know, severe emotional re-traumatization over and over and over for the sole purpose that Alex Jones can sell supplements for, like, colloidal silver, which will kill you. You know, all kinds of garbage, the ass wipes and shit that he sells. When the globalists
to the
take
most
over.
Ignorant sector.
Yeah. Selling society. Vitamins, you know, that you could buy at the drugstore for like $3 for like $200 each and, you know, all kinds of shit like that. Just that's a grift.
Yeah. But like the most disgusting kind of grift.
Yes. You know, trying to capitalize on dead babies.
Yeah. Like, you know, there are people who followed him because of what he said, are like calling up the parents of dead children and demanding that they exhume the child's body for their satisfaction, like they've got fucking anything to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yep, lots of dumb questions. Why were there no open casket funerals? These children were shot in the face. You typically don't do open casket for stuff like that. You ignorant fuck. Not you guys, probably.
I'm a little bit.
Yeah, stuff like that. Just conspiracy peddling for personal profit, of which he made boatloads. So, yeah, it's focused pretty strictly. It gives you a little background on who Alex Jones is, how he kind of rose to prominence, you know, how InfoWars kind of became big. It was really 9/11 that did it. He talked about, like, nothing but 9/11 being an inside job for, like, years. That's where he really got his audience. And then he kind of expanded into all kinds of other conspiracy theory stuff. It's really good. Infuriating, but it's well put together, well told.
Yeah.
It's a big topic, and they do a really good job of paring it down to, like, the most important stuff.
Yeah, and both the documentary and the lawyers fucking flatten him. They make him look like a fucking tiny piece of shit,
mm-hmm.
which is what he is.
Yeah. Yep.
Something, Gary Pausch.
Yeah, and they, you know, yeah, I mean, I definitely recommend watching it, and there's plenty of other interesting stuff, you know, that wasn't even included. Like I say, the whole, what was it, like, I can't remember my kids' names because I had a big bowl of chili for lunch. Like, just weird shit that he would do in the courtroom.
Yeah, I mean, he's compulsive, isn't he?
Yeah, he can't help himself.
No.
You know. That's a yes or a no question, Mr. Jones. You know. Yeah. Like, putting, like, pictures of, like, the judge on fire on InfoWars, like, the day of one of the, you know, court proceedings. There's a bit where he's still saying that this was a false flag and stuff. And it was, like, they're, like, it's 45 minutes before today's court session begins.
You said you posted that 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It was lunch, I think.
45 minutes ago, yeah. Like, no, no, I didn't say that, no. You guys are putting words in my mouth. Absolute disgusting human being.
Yeah, it's a shame he can't face criminal justice.
Yeah, I agree. It's a shame that this really was only addressed in civil court so that, you know, then he can go tell his followers, well, see, they sued me. You know, I wasn't arrested. They sued me. So this is just about trying to get money from me. They're just greedy and their children never existed. You know, really despicable. But the documentary is good. Yeah, HBO, I'd recommend it.
I feel traumatized.
I know.
What next?
Next, last thing on our list is a positive one, so. The Regime on HBO.
I like The Regime.
I kind of loved it.
It's not finished.
Nope, it's 6 episodes.
Last episode is...
Fifth episode is tomorrow. We just watched the fourth one.
Sunday.
Sunday, yes, you'll be watching this tomorrow and Sunday. Sunday, yep, we'll have the fifth episode.
Sunday the 1st of April.
Mm-hmm. So, what's it about?
Well, the 31st of March.
This is March.
How many days are in March?
31.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, what's it about?
31st of March. Mm-hmm. It's about a... Eastern European or Middle Europe. Does it say Middle Europe?
It says Middle Europe is like the first shot, yeah.
Middle Europe, European fictional country, possibly like a Soviet breakaway state type of thing, ruled by Alina, played by Kate Winslet, who essentially is a dictator by the time we meet her.
Her title's Chancellor, but she's basically a dictator, yeah.
Yeah. And she meets Corporal Zubek, who is a low-level war criminal who, for some reason, she decides she wants in her palace. And
For what purpose does she bring him in originally?
Well, she's insane, right? So she wants someone to check the humidity of not only every room, but like every cubic centimeter.
Everywhere she goes, he's measuring air humidity in front of her. She's obsessed with...
mold.
There's mold in the palace.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so she meets Corporal Zubek, and I guess they begin a whirlwind romance of codependence. It's not really a romance at the beginning. He becomes her advisor, and then kind of a bit more than that, and then, you know... Not going
to
spoil it or anything, but
yeah, I'll try
he's a bit like Rasputin.
Yeah, we were just, after the first, like, I think after, like, the second episode, we were just calling him Rasputin. That's basically, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's a comedy, I think it's very funny.
Mm-hmm. It's a satire, and not a satire of one, it's not like a direct satire of, like, a specific government or a specific leader. No. It's more like a pastiche, sort of various crazy world leaders. Definitely with like an Eastern sort of European bent.
But without the accents, except
yeah,
for Zubek.
Zubek, yeah, he has like kind of an Eastern European accent, and everybody in the palace has like a generally a posh British accent. Yeah, so it's, you know, if you don't go into it thinking that like, I mean, because I saw like articles and stuff, people like talking about it saying like, oh, this is clearly a satire of Trump, or this is clearly a satire of Putin. See, I just see it as a satire of that, of like the type of like,
yes,
a crazy ruler. There are some little splashes of things that are kind of reminiscent of Trump.
Yeah.
And of Putin. I just took it as its own story, and it's not, you know, like I said, it's not directly satirizing, I think, you know, one
anything
or two
in particular.
Particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a bit of Idi Amin in there, you know. Mm. She's. It's not just that she's crazy; it's that she's completely empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And no one.
Yeah.
Will
and
tell
like
her the
these,
truth.
The weird obsessions.
Yeah. It's good.
It's
good. It's funny and.
It's funny. It's not
very.
It's not necessarily like laugh out loud to the rooftops funny. It's like weird funny in a way that I really enjoy. And I just fucking love Kate Winslet in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the little mouth thing that she's doing when she's talking.
Yeah.
Like, that's gotta be
She's like a combination of Nigella Lawson and Carol Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More so Nigella Lawson, definitely the mouth. That must be Nigella Lawson.
And I saw some stuff like on Reddit, people saying like, I can't remember specifically, but like naming like various figures, kind of, you know, like Ukraine and like Bolivia, and there are like little elements that can remind you.
There's a bit of Marie Le Pen.
Historical people, yeah. But it really is doing its own thing, yeah. And that's just kind of the like setting of it, almost the flavor of it. And then the actual story, I just think, is really interesting.
Yeah, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I like the characters, mm-hmm. Yeah, as despicable as almost all of them are, not Agnes.
Yeah, yeah. In their own different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, Agnes is the only person who seems like just straight
up... redeemable.
...kind person. I mean, like, Zubak is a piece of shit, but, like, man, I kind of love him. It's fascinating. And there's all these different themes.
He's a sincere piece of shit.
Yes, he's a sincere piece of shit. There's all these themes, like I don't want to spoil it, so I'll stick to it a little bit, but, like, first episode, Kate Winslet, when he first comes in to measure air quality around her everywhere she goes.
Not even air quality, just humidity.
Just humidity, yes. And she, there are things that it's, there are elements of it that are interesting to watch a second time as well.
Yes.
Which we've now watched the first... We watched the first three, like, three times, because you'll pick up more. Like, she approaches him first with, like, we were in a dream together last night. We had a dream. He's like, no, I don't think so. We were. And she says this again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, we have a dream, our dream. And what he wants to change in his country is so diametrically opposed to what she wants, which is just, like, pure selfishness and greed. And he doesn't even seem to realize it, and he loves her.
Yeah.
You know, like, he thinks that she's representing him, and he's, like, almost, like, cult-like, in a sense. It's fascinating. There's a lot of themes there.
Yeah, and...
That come through.
I thought you were gonna say
the relationship
as well.
Of, like, voters to powerful people, you know, and cult of personality. Go ahead, sorry.
I think you mentioned it after the second time we watched it. It's all her. I knew it was mostly her, but then watching it again, it's like, you're right. He doesn't initiate anything.
He doesn't initiate any of that
if
stuff.
If she hadn't spoken to him, he'd be doing the humidity checks now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did not try and put himself into this.
And what really, you know...
It's weird.
And there are these moments, like, where... Like, the exact moment that she realizes or feels like, oh, I really like him. She kind of becomes obsessed with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Early on. You know, I will not spoil, you know, later stuff, but... yeah, it's all her. Like, there's this moment where she's really frustrated with these other, like, world leaders and business leaders that she's meeting with, and all for, like, totally selfish reasons. And then she's like, oh, I hate them. I wish that I could, you know, just, you know, I wish something bad would happen, whatever.
Pour acid on them or something.
Yeah, I wish I could just pour acid on them. And Zubak is like, I would like to beat their face for you. And that's not the exact line.
Pour consomme on them.
I want to smash their face forever. And that's where she's like, oh, I like him. Yeah, he wants to do bad things to my enemies. But purely for her own reasons.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like him. He's almost like a borderline like communist.
Yeah, I mean...
He wants to give the land back to the people. He wants to destroy these big business interests and stop, you know, Western money coming in. He's, like, convincing her to, like, eat dirt and stuff because this is what we do.
I mean, I think it's... If you're right, like, what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants... Kind of like communism, but it's important, I think, to state that he really wants autarky, independence. Because
mm-hmm.
he's against China as well. He doesn't mm-hmm. want them in
And he talks about their previous leader, like, calling him, like, a socialist. Yeah, they have totally diametrically opposed interests, but they seem to latch on to each other.
Well, they're both thugs.
Yeah.
It's the horseshoe theory.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a TV show.
Really, really interesting stuff. And there's also this, like sexual chemistry element as well, that is, like, really fascinating. I'm definitely seeing, like, mixed stuff on this. Like, there are a lot of people. I saw, IMDb reviews, people, like, if this is a satire, it's not funny enough. I think it's very funny. But that's not... I think that if you go into it thinking it's like a straight comedy, you'll be disappointed.
Right.
Because there's lots of weird, funny stuff, but there's also these themes about, like, real-world stuff and real-world issues, but then all of it just kind of gels in this interesting way, where, you know, I also saw people saying, like, if it's a satire, it's not directly satirizing one particular government, and I don't like that. I like that it's more just about, like, the type. It's, like, just little pieces and elements of that to create this picture. Yeah, I think it's kind of great. I mean, there's two episodes left. Plenty of room to mess it up still, yeah. But
it's not actually a comment on Eastern European politics. It's a comment on tin pot dictatorships and the whims and delusions of the people around them, the electorate, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the way everybody, like, in the palace, like feeds into her delusions and just lets her have them.
Well, they're terrified of her.
Yeah, because they're terrified of her, and just, you know, feeling like they kind of have to.
Be more normal.
Let's all work on being more normal. Yeah. Really like it, yeah. And I think that Winslet and, what's the name of the guy playing Zubag? It's like Matthias something, are just, like, great together.
Yeah.
I mean, the chemistry between them is really powerful, in my opinion. Yeah, I kind of love it. I hope that the next two are good, too, because I am really looking forward to it. And it's kind of rare for us to watch something because it comes out weekly where we're, like, looking forward to, like, I can't wait for Sunday. And I can, you know, see the next regime. Yeah, really enjoying it.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Is there one episode left?
There's two more.
Oh, there's two more.
Yep. We just watched four.
Last week. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I know. And, like, I'm like, man,
so it could still be shit.
It could still go to shit. But, I mean, there's part of me, too, that's like, God, only two left. Like, I wish this was eight episodes or,
yeah, it's, you know, rare whatever. To feel that, huh?
Yeah.
I wish it was a little longer.
I have not felt that there's time wasting at all. It's pacey. It's always moving forward.
Well, good then. Good that it's six.
Yeah.
And has that.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It leaves me wanting more.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. And there are, you know, we were kind of like making predictions after the first couple episodes where we think this might go. And I'm still at a point where I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, it's narrowed down a little bit for me what I think might be happening after this last episode four, which kind of answered some questions I had about how this could kind of move forward and end up ending. And I mean, it does leave me guessing, and, you know, yeah, really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Anything else to say about that?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. That's it for the list.
That's it.
Yeah.
I guess we're done then.
Well, I guess we're done.
Yeah, well, if you got HBO or some sort of bizarre, like, bouncing off the sun way of getting it, then check it out.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much for watching. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Arr!